Hello and welcome everyone at FOSDEM 2026. Today we talk about Guile and tooling and some development practices. So this talk is targeted against newcomers who want to start with Guile or already experienced people who want to have more fun with Guile. And the goal is to getting as much fun as possible from programming in Guile language. And for this, we will be discussing different practices, and also we'll be using some tools which have two properties. They are reliable and they are interactive. And talking about interactive, you not only can interact with them, but they also fast. There's some research talking about the tools that when you interact with something, with some program, and it replies under 100 milliseconds, it feels like instant response, and you feel like engaged. If it takes a bit more time, it feels sluggish. If it takes more than 1 second, you're already distracted, but still can keep focus. And above 10 seconds, you're switching your context, and you lost forever. So we try to be in the first category under 100 milliseconds and sometimes going a bit above. It's not completely covers all the edge cases and stuff, but it will cover 80% of the goodness that you need to feel comfortable with Guile. The topics for today, we will talk about REPL. Most probably famous thing about Lisp is REPL, so a cool tool for like interactive development of the stuff and REPL-driven development, of course. After that, we will talk about organizational stuff, how to structure your code, how to structure your models, directories, and all that stuff. A bit boring, but important part. After that, setting up the environment. Probably some of you heard the word geeks, and I will mention it a few times during the talk. The next step will be talking about NREPL. And what is the difference with REPL and why it's important. A bit of topic of the next talk, going beyond Emacs. We will touch it lightly, and I hope the next talk will cover it much more deeply. And highly interactive development environments and development workflows, and of course demos, how to debug Guile programs, and testing and test-driven development. So this is a sneak peek into what will be in the topic. And something about myself. Probably you already know me, but for people who will be watching recording, I'm Andrew Tropin. I work on operating systems and programming languages and do a lot of free and open source software along the way, including those projects. Geeks Home is the stuff for managing your .dot files and home environments, and we will be using it inside our talk for demo. And RDE is GNU Linux distribution based on GNU Geeks Package Manager, and we also will use it for demo. Suitable Testing Library is a library for Guile for writing tests and executing them in REPL and in other way. And Array Guile IDE, the primary thing that I personally use for development and hope after the talk you will use too. Okay. Usually, when you start programming in Lisp, you can think that REPL is the only thing that you need. The overall idea, by the way, who is familiar with REPLs? Okay, I won't be explaining in too much details. So it's just long running process that you like incrementally modify by sending S expressions to the prompt and immediately getting the response, like the value of evaluation of this S expression. So it has immediate feedback and it's fun. I would like to show the demo, but probably all of you saw how REPLs work, so I will skip this part. And we will go to the next part, the REPL questions. When you start on a very simple experimentation, of course, evaluating simple expressions and getting values is fun, comfortable, fast, and all that stuff. But when you build a bigger project, it's a bit hard to manipulate only with smallest expressions. You need files, models, all that structure. And you need to switch between your source code and REPL, copy snippets back and forth. When you need to, for example, get the knowledge where the function that you're using is REPL is defined in your project or in your dependency, you probably need to construct another expression which will extract this information from runtime. Not very fun anymore. like to find function definitions, to persist results, copy stuff back and forth, takes a bit of time. We can do better. And I will show you in a few minutes how to do so. And managing the libraries, dependencies, and all that stuff, it's outside of the REPL scope, and we will cover it soon as well. So REPL, quick and easy, not highly, but interactive, and it's a bit hard to integrate it into your text editor because like of this back and forth jumping. And even if you try to wrap it with some APIs, interacting with STD in REPL, the single synchronous process is a bit tough, and you can see the examples where it fails, but won't be diving too much into it. But when the next time you will be programming in Guile, try to run something, for example, for evaluation, and get some go-to definition functionality working. If you use a usual STD in REPL, it probably will fail. Okay, a bit of organizational part. If you have written in any language which have models, it's often the case that models correspond to the file structure. And usually you name the model the following way. The project, your project name or whatever, your domain or something like distinguishing the model from all other models that possibly exist in the universe. The category and purpose or some other categorization approach, and it corresponds to the file. It will be important a bit later, but for people who coming, it's better to know that it's good to keep this correspondence, the model and file hierarchy. Also, when you write in Guile, it's quite old language, and people used it as a bash script, so you have imperative code, and you just load it into REPL or whatever, and it executes this code line by line. In modern projects, when you have multiple models, and you have such a file which have imperative side effectful code, when it will be loaded by the compiler or interpreter, it will fire those side effects. And this is what we don't want when we like have a big project, the random side effects happening on the loading of the models. That is why every time when you define a model, try to make only top-level definitions of the functions. No side-effectful top-level code. What I mean that, for example, if you write to the file, if you have something that writes to the file, it should be wrapped into the function. So before firing the side effect, you need to call this function. You can call it from CLI, from REPL, from whatever, but try not to use top-level side-effectful forms in your code. It will save you a lot of time. And it will be much funner to work with. And the last thing that I recommend, to make a correspondence between your usual models and models with tests, just by adding a test prefix at the end. And that's basically it about basic organizational structure. After that, you have your source code somewhere in the directory, and you structured your models well, and you put your code well. Now you have another level of directories that groups the code by purpose. For example, your application wraps some C code. So it's better to create a folder with C headers and wrappers, and your folder with scheme source code, which uses those wrappers. Or you have a backend part and frontend part, or you have like something implemented in Guile scheme and something implemented in Guile hood. It's better to keep in different directories. So later, you can, for example, using load path variable, specify where to look for the related source code for a particular part of your project. And we will see the example of this structure just in a bit. It's still a boring part, and I hope you get bored enough, because like later we will have a bit more fun. But it's necessary to talk, because it takes a lot of time from people who are starting to work with Guile. And the last recommendation that I have, to use a few top-level directories. First one is env for storing all the information, scripts, and source code related to the environment, how to set up the environment. Source code is a primary directory where you store your project sources. Tests is a separate directory from primary sources because, for example, when you want to release a project, you would like to be sure that nothing from your tests leaks into your release because you had like some drafts or some incomplete functions or maybe some dirty implementations and helpers. You want to be sure that they are not in the release. That's why we separate them in completely different directory. And dev is a directory for experiments, drafts, and all that things. Okay, let's see how it can work. I will do ls.
Make it a bit larger.
Okay. So this is a top level of some project, and you can see those directory I mentioned. And now let's see how the tree looks like. You can see there's a dev directory. Inside the dev directory, I have a directory which says Guile. That means it's only a Guile source code. If I had a hood source code or C source code, it will be like a separate directory nearby. And here you can see a lot of experimentations that I had, some demo files, and all other stuff. The env directory contains quite involved structure. And I will explain it in a minute. But it contains information of how to set up the environment with Gigs. And the primary source code for my project, which is structured, as I mentioned before, name of the project, like category and purpose or whatever categorization way you use. And tests. You can see the test like mimics the structure of the primary source code. But in the model names, I have minus test prefix at the end, which helps, if you keep this convention, which helps to do functions like jumping to corresponding model with tests and loading tests for the current model and all that stuff. Just a simple convention, but simplifies a lot of things. Okay. Now, the load pass. Who knows what load passes? Okay, half of the people, very good. This is basically a place where your compiler looks up for the code. And one of the tasks that you need to do to work on Guile project or many other languages as well is to set up load pass correctly so it can find your source code, it can find dependencies of your source code like libraries, compilers, and all the things that you will use. And I have a quite extensive article. You can look it up later. But what else load passes allows us to do? It allows us to create a profiles, profiles for different needs. Sometimes we run and compile our source code for a release purpose. Sometimes we want to run tests on CI. So we need not only our source code, but also our tests to be available for the compiler. And sometimes we need for development purpose. So we need our test, we need additional drafts, we need maybe some additional dependencies which allows spying on our code and doing some debugging. This mechanism allows to create a profiles for different tasks at hand. How I basically do it in my project. I will show you right here. We have make files. And inside this make files, you can see that I specify different load passes for different purposes. For example, for dev Guile process, I use my source code, primary source code, tests, and my dev with drafts. But for running tests, I don't need those drafts. So I have only tests here. And for release, I use only my primary source code. And I'm sure that nothing from my dev experiments and tests will leak into the final release, which is quite quite handy. Okay, the question. You probably remember in the demo that I didn't show that I ran the Guile. and it spawns a ripple. And the question is where this Guile comes from. The answer is where, which Guile? The answer is simple, from some strange place. Who installed it, how installed it, what version, what dependencies, who knows? The only Richard Stallman, maybe, I'm not sure. It's better to control your environment and all the dependencies that you have for a project. So we need a tool for this. It's not sponsored by Geeks, but unfortunately, I don't know a better option so far to do so. So we need to use Geeks. There is one important thing to note, that installing Geeks and doing initial Geeks pull can be a bit slow, and like allocate some time in advance if you want to use Geeks for managing your Guile project. But when you set it up, it's extremely reliable. I have projects that like a few years old, I come back to them and they work perfectly without any issues because they're frozen in time with Geeks and its capability for time traveling. Let's go to the next slide. A bit of good best practices. Good best practices. So how basically things work? Probably I should start from this slide. We installed Geeks somehow. Imagine we could do so. After that, we need to use two things: the Geeks shell and Geeks time machine. Geeks shell allow us to install Guile and, for example, Guile QR code. It spawns a shell. You can see that prompt is different right now, and it has additional character in it. And if I run Guile REPL, and inside this Guile REPL, we'll do use models QR code.